awesome song. What an awesome job. Thank you all. God bless you all. It's great to be with you here again this morning. I'm Derek Frost, and I'd like to continue to get to know each one of you. Just bear with me on your names. Keep on telling me your name every time you see me, because I'd love to get to know you better. But I'm privileged that you all asked me to come and share God's Word with you again this morning, and I've been looking forward to it. And the title of the message this morning is Be Ready. Be Ready. And my son, my oldest son, John Allen, who was here last week, he loves playing soccer. And he's a great soccer player, too, by the way. He's 12 years old, and he plays the Sunshine Soccer out at Fraser on those fields. And a couple of seasons ago, a lot of times I would go to the practice, and my wife would be at the practice, and we'd have two separate cars, and I would take my littlest one home, Christian, the five-year-old, and we'd try to beat Mama and Anna and John Allen home, see if we could beat them home and then go hide. That was the big thing that Christian wanted to do. So Christian would say, come on, Daddy, let's go, let's go. So we'd get in the car and we'd get on flying down the Atlanta Highway. No, I won't tell you that. But we'd get on home and go in the speed limit the best we could and get on home. And sure enough, we'd dart in the house and we'd try to figure out a spot to hide. And, you know, he'd get over by the piano and I'd say, let me go get a blanket. And, you know, you lay down and make it look like there's nothing there. And he's like, where are you going to hide, Daddy? I'll go over in this corner. I'll be watching out for him. A lot of times I would watch out the window. I'll be watching for him. And I'll tell you, and so you don't have to sit under that blanket the whole time and suffocate under there for 40 minutes in case they're that long. I'll be watching out the window. As soon as I say, they're here, you get under there and then you be still. Okay, Daddy. Okay, we'll do that. So a lot of times that's how it would turn out. I'd be watching out the window. Here they come. They're coming around the corner. They're coming down the driveway. Get down. And, of course, they'd come in the house, and it'd be silent, and they'd have to find us for 20 minutes, and depending on how good we hid. But we were ready. We were waiting on them. We were in the home, and they were coming soon, and I was keeping watch, and we were both getting ready. We were prepared. And by the time they got out of that van and were coming to the house, we were ready. Now, that's a small little thing to be ready for, a fun little thing to be ready for, but what Chris and the choir just sang about, now that's a very, very important, powerful, incredible, glorious, wonderful thing that is coming to be ready for. Jesus Christ Himself, who came here once in humility and humbleness and born in a manger, is going to come back in glory and power and might, and we've got to be ready. Are you ready? Be ready. Thank you for singing that. We've got to be ready. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24, and this is the fifth discourse in the book of Matthew. The Olivet Discourse, where Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He's sitting on the hill of the Mount of Olives. He's sitting there with them, and just His disciples are right there. It says that He's speaking to them in private, just speaking to His disciples. And just a little bit before this, just before they got to the hill of the Mount of Olives, they were passing by the temple and some of the beautiful buildings, and the disciples, Jesus was walking up ahead of them, And they ran up to Him and said, Lord, look at all these buildings. You know, look at the magnificence of these buildings. And that's when Jesus just went into it. And Jesus just predicted the future for a little while there. And Jesus just said, you know, not one of these stones here will be laying on top of another in time. And then they sat on the hill of the Mount of Olives. And then the disciples were wanting to know, well, Lord, when will these things happen? What are you talking about? What's going on? And Jesus is teaching on these things that are to come, that will be coming. Look with me at Matthew 24, starting in verse 42 through 51. Listen to what Jesus says here. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this,
If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master is staying away a long time." And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a sobering last image there, but the image right before it is incredible. Wonderful. And we have a choice there. So the question this morning is, how can you be ready? He's coming anytime now. We're not going to do questions right now, but ask me afterward, okay? Ask me afterward. But he is ready. I mean, he's coming. How do we be ready? How can you be ready? Now, as you saw last week, sometimes I like to use acrostics just to help you remember. So if you've got a pen, you might want to jot some of these down. And there again, write down what the Lord's impressing on your heart. You don't have to write everything down, but if something jumps out at you, write it down. The Holy Spirit's probably teaching you, trying to tell you something, trying to remind you of something, trying to get you to do something. But there again, I want to use an acrostic. So we're going to take be ready. Be ready, but just the B of be ready, not B-E. So be ready. How can you be ready? Well, the B, let's let the B represent, be aware, first of all. Be aware that He's coming. Be aware that He's coming. Keep watch. Look at verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. He is coming. You need to know that He's coming. Sometimes I think we just forget. We hear a song like the Midnight Cry, so beautifully sung, or we hear a message, we hear about the second coming, and maybe it stays with us for a day or two, or maybe not even that long, the hour that we heard it, maybe. And sometimes we get back to life, and we just kind of forget. We don't think about it a lot of times. Sometimes I'm guilty of it. We just forget that He's coming. We just don't think about it. But we're not to live like that. Be ready. Keep watch. Don't forget, He's coming. I thought of a, to me, this is a great example of this, of Him coming. I don't know how many of you have grandkids or your children, or if you've ever seen one of these things before. I tried to find one and bring it for you. My kids have them all over the house, but there's no telling where they are. But I think they're called a popper. It's a little bitty half circle. You kids know what I'm talking about. It's a little half circle, and it's really half of a sphere, if you can imagine that. Half of a sphere, just half of it, and it's hollow. So you turn it inside out, you got an inside out circle, and you set it down somewhere, and you just wait. And at any given time, you don't know when it's going to happen, that thing will pop up in the air. You can try to catch it or whatever. But isn't that what's going on right now? Jesus has left. He said, "I'm coming back." Not telling you when. Jesus Himself said He didn't know. Only the Father in heaven knows. But He said, "I'm coming back." We have no idea when. But if you were going to catch one of those poppers, you'd turn it inside out and you'd sit there and you'd be ready, though, wouldn't you? If you're trying to catch it, you'd be watching it, keeping watch. You'd be ready. You don't know when it's going to happen. But eventually, and you'd try to catch it. We're to be living our life like that. He's coming at any time. Could be before I finish the message. Could be when you get home, you're eating lunch. Could be 5 minutes before your bedtime. When you go to bed, you're saying that last prayer right before you go to sleep. Could be then. But He's coming. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you keeping watch? Or do we forget too often that he's coming. So keep watch. Keep watch. How can you be ready? Well, be aware that he's coming. Secondly, we need to reflect on his story. The R is reflect. Reflect on his story, the story that he just gave us. Look at this. Just verse 43. Jesus says, "But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into." Reflect on that story. How does that story apply to you? You think about it. What would you do? What would you do if you got an anonymous phone call this afternoon after you got home from church and somebody on the other line said, they knew your name and they said, "So-and-so, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I just have to tell you that I know for a fact, I have heard this man talking, this criminal, and I know that he is breaking into your house tonight. I even heard him say midnight tonight. I cannot tell you who I am. I have to go. Just wanted to warn you." Click. Well, what would you do? What would you do? Now, if you knew that was a genuine call and if you believed it, well, I think you'd probably start preparing right then. You'd probably call the police and you'd say, "I got this call. I know it was real. That person was very genuine, everything they said." You'd try to make sure there was going to be a policeman in your home waiting behind the door at midnight with a gun ready to go. You'd probably make sure maybe you'd want one or two other policemen, maybe one out in the bushes to watch the guy coming in. And then you'd probably set up your little spot by your window watching right before midnight. You would make your preparations. And then when that time came, the midnight hour hit, and I'm sure you'd be at that window at least probably 20, 30 minutes before, just in case he's a little early, a little late, but you'd be ready. And when that time came, there wouldn't be a problem. He maybe kicks the door in, and the cop comes from behind out of the bushes, and the other guy's standing right there going, "Get down on the floor and put your hands behind your back." You know, you're in good shape because you prepared. You were keeping watch. Well, Jesus gives us that example. He says, that's how it is. He says, keep watch. He says, you be ready. Well, just like you would do a number of things to prepare for that incident, what do you need to do right now to prepare for Jesus' coming? If you know that it could be any time, if you know that it could be while you're eating lunch today or 5 minutes before your bedtime, what are you doing? What things do you need to do to prepare just like you would if that criminal was coming tonight? What do you need to do? We need to keep watch. So you can be ready by not only being aware that he is coming and then reflecting on this story and applying this story to your life. Thirdly, let's let the E represent examine yourself. Examine yourself. In verse 44, Jesus said, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." We need to pay close attention to ourselves. And we need to ask ourselves that question. You need to ask yourself, am I ready? Are you okay if he does come back at lunch today or 5 minutes before bedtime? Would you be okay with that? And if not, when you look at your life, what is it? Is there something that needs to be changed? Is there something that you're putting off? What needs to be changed? Or are you ready right now? Now, on the other hand, of course, Jesus is coming back. We've got to be ready. But then all of us here were just reminded this week that it's not only that, but our whole lives are fragile and fleeting. At any time, whether he's coming back this afternoon or not, I could be in a car accident or whatever. I might be going to meet him at any time. Miss Betty Rooker, I know that this past week, a few days ago, that was not on her agenda. That was not on her schedule to just miss a step right over here at the elementary school. and praise the Lord and thank the Lord He's healing her and she's doing good. But it could happen to any of us at any moment. We've got to be ready. Life is like a vapor, as the Scripture tells us. It's here for a moment, and you walk out early in the morning, the dew's on the grass. 10 a.m., you walk back out there, and it's just gone. God says, that's your life. We've got to be ready. And so examine yourself. Are you ready? You need to ask yourself that question. In Lamentations 3:40, it says this: let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. That's a good, healthy thing. God tells us we need to do that, and we need to do it often, perhaps daily. When you pray, when you come to that time of confession, we need to examine our ways and test them. You do the same thing for your car. To make sure it's running right, every now and then you take it to the mechanic, and you get a tune-up, and he tests some different things and checks some different things, makes sure it's in good running condition. Well, God says you need to examine yourself. You need to find out, am I ready? Would I be ready if he comes at lunch today? And if not, what are those things that I need to take care of? What are those things that I need to do? Some of the things you may need to look at when you examine yourself. Well, how's my relationship with the Lord? Am I ready in that regard? Am I spending time with the Lord? Am I doing what I want to do in that area? Spending personal time with the Lord, one-on-one, just with Him, nobody else around. What about my habits? Maybe there's some habits that I say, oh, I wouldn't want the Lord to come back at noon with me having this habit. I want it gone. Maybe there's some things you're procrastinating. Maybe there's some different issues, some things in your life that you keep putting off, and if he were to come, you would already want that thing taken care of. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe it's relationships with other people. Maybe you've got some things. No, I wouldn't want him coming back till I work on this relationship some. Maybe for you it's to come to the Lord. Maybe you feel like you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and your Savior. Maybe you feel like if he were to come back, I don't know what would happen to me. Or maybe you feel like if I died today, if I got in a car wreck, I don't know where I'd be. Well, that's a very important thing. You need to get that right this morning. He made the way for you. It's perfect. It's clear. It's simple. If you'll just repent, you'll turn from yourself and your sins. And Jesus came and he died for you. He paid for all your sins. He took your penalty. He took your punishment on the cross when he died. He's raised from the dead. And if you'll just come to him and turn to him and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. I know I have. I can't believe you paid for all my sins. I thank you for that. I believe you took my punishment. I know you are who you said you are, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And Lord, I turn to you now and I ask you to save me. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. Will you save me? I want to know that I'll be in paradise with you if my time comes, or if you come back. Maybe that's what you need to get straight today. To pray about that. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to one of these great deacons here about that. We'll talk with you about that. We'll pray with you about that if you're not sure. So are you ready? Examine yourself. Well, not only do we need to be aware that he's coming, reflect on this story that he gave us, examine yourself, but then once you do examine yourself and you see some things that, well, I wouldn't want that like that if he came back, what do we need to do? The A stands for act. We need to act on his truth. We need to act on whatever he's revealing to you right now. He's telling you to act on it. We've got to act on his truth. And there again, verse 44 again, the same thing. So you also must be ready. Act on those things he's telling you about, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Well, get ready. Get ready. What do you need to do? The action word. What do you need to do to be ready by bedtime tonight? And that's a great exercise. You could wake up every morning and just say, well, you know, I'm just going to live like he's coming tonight at this time when I go to bed. Just get everything ready. Have everything ready. Be keeping watch. Put it on the calendar if you have to. You know, whatever these things are that he's revealing to you, sometimes some of you, if you're like me, you got to just write it down. You got to say, here, it's on my to-do list. Or I even calendar it out and say, I will have this thing out of my life by here. Or, you know, do whatever you have to do to be ready. God tells us through James that not to just be hearers of the word, not to just leave this morning and say, well, I know he's coming back and I thought about some things I need to work on, but then you just forget it. No, don't do that. Don't be a hearer of the word. Be a doer. I believe Andy just prayed about it. Be a doer of his word. I love the illustration God gives us in James about that. And he says, does a man look at himself in a mirror and then walk away and forget what he looks like? Well, how foolish would it be if I was eating lunch with Chris and I had a big old hamburger and the mustard squeezed out the back and fell on my white shirt right here, and I went into the bathroom and Chris didn't really want to say anything to me because we were just getting to know each other. I went in the bathroom and I saw it. How foolish would it be if I just said, oh, well, and walked back out and went back in the restaurant. Hey, Chris. No, I would get some wet paper towels. I'd be working on that thing, getting it off. God says he reveals things to you. His word is that mirror, and he shows you yourself, and he shows you what's going on, what you need to work on, what's going good, what you need to change, and he reveals all that to you. And how foolish is it if you just walk away from it just like that mustard? No, when he shows you that, he wants you to do it. And so we've got to get ready, do the act of getting ready. And then finally, Jesus gives us two examples of how it is. If we're going to be ready, how can you be ready? If we're going to do these things, there's two different outcomes, two different ways this could turn out. And the D stands for do his will and receive more. Look, here's the first outcome. Here's how it can be for us in 45 to 47. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Well, that's the way I want to be. I think that's where you want to be too. I want to be doing the right thing. I want to be ready, keeping watch when he comes. And one thing we gather from this is that he says that who's the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants of his household? You know, you're just a servant, and so am I. Nothing that you have or think that you own is yours. Nothing. Not even the body that your spirit is dwelling in. That's not even yours. It's all his. Did you make that body that your spirit is dwelling in? Did you make your spirit? No. He made it. It's his. It belongs to him. He created your spirit. He created you. He created, gave you the body to live in. He's provided everything for you, the home, the spouse, the children, whatever is in your life. He's given it all to you. None of it's yours. It's all his. And he simply said, I'm going to entrust all this to you for a little while. I want you to manage some things that are mine. These talents, these treasures, these finances, these relationships, they're all mine. I just want you to manage these for a little while. Well, it came to light for me when a few years ago when Allison's step-grandmother mentioned her last time, that's where I got the yoke. When she did pass away, we went to her house and we took everything, anything we wanted. Just a number of us were all there. Other people came. And that was her home. But she's not here anymore. It just made me realize that none of that stuff was hers. It was just on loan to her for a short time. And that's how everything you think you own is. So we need to live knowing that it's all his. Lord, help me to just manage it in the best possible way so that when you return, I'm this servant that you find me doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing exactly what you called me to do. And finally, the bad outcome, the place we don't want to be, what we don't want it to look like when he comes. Jesus gives us this example in 48 to 51. And let the why represent Your complacency will destroy you. Your complacency will destroy you. 48 to 51, he says this. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour when he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It reminds me of a verse in Proverbs. This is Proverbs 1, 32 and 33. Now, we don't need to be complacent or self-satisfied. God tells us there, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Well, the worst thing that you could possibly do after hearing this message today that would be just like this last example here would be to go away from this message today and just kind of forget, just kind of not think about, not remember it anymore that he's coming. Just get back to your normal routine. Just forget about all the things the Lord just reminded you of that he's ready for you to work on and get right and to be keeping watch. And just to kind of go and forget it all. Or to doubt. Look what this last servant did. One of the worst things you could do is go home and just doubt and say, well, you know what, it probably is a long time in coming. Whoa, stop right there. You sound just like this other servant. And I'm guilty of it sometimes. I feel like sometimes, oh, it might be a long time. But then God quickly reminds me of these types of passages. Keep watch. Be ready. And also, we need to live. We could also make this mistake by living like it's all of our stuff. Like this is my body. This is my life. I worked. I earned all these things. This is my family. This is... When I live like that, I could fall into this also. Then I'll mismanage what's God's and what is not mine. So how can you be ready? And how can I be ready? We need to be aware that he is coming. R, we need to reflect on this story that he's given us about that thief. E, we need to examine. You need to examine yourself often. A, you need to act on what he reveals to you. Act on his truth. D, you need to do his will and receive more. And then don't do the why, where you're complacent. Your complacency will destroy you. Let's pray about these things. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for waking us up here. Thank you for telling us that you are coming at any moment. Lord, help us to be ready. Thank you for the things you've revealed to us that we need to change, that we need to work on to be ready. And Lord, would you remind us often to keep watch and to live for you. And Father, if there's anyone here who, Lord, needs to come to you, Lord, may they come and talk to me or one of the deacons afterward. May they call out to you, Lord. We praise you, we love you, and we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.